got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 35. I get to preach three different times, and I'm excited about it. Hallelujah. So I'm going to preach tomorrow morning, and I'm going to do something different in the morning. I hope you can come back. Said, suppose the place full. Well, then you can sit up here with us. It don't make no difference. My Lord Jesus, and people say, well, I suppose I don't have a seat. You didn't worry about that when you was at a dance hall. You didn't worry about that when you was at a bar. You had to reach through the people to get a drink. So why you worry about that at church? Stand up. I'm standing up. The whole service. So I hope you can come tomorrow, and I'll do something different on the second service, the 9 o'clock and the 11 o'clock. So if you want to stay all three, because I'm going to be here. I'm telling you, I'm not just telling you come for you to see me. I'm telling you, God sent me here to do something. This anointing's on my life. Psalm chapter 35, I got to tell you two stories before I get into this real quickly. And first I want to ask everybody not to judge this until I finish it. This is radical. It's very radical in your thinking. And so I'm going to ask you, at first you're going to go, but I'm going to ask you not to judge it till I get to the end of it. And after I get to the end of it, then you can judge it, all right? But let me tell you two little stories before. I want to ask some questions that they're not catch questions. I just want to ask you, and I'd like you to answer them to the best of your ability. Now, a lot of people have heard me. Some preachers said, Jesse, if you've heard some of this, it's because they stole it from me. You'd be surprised how many people steal stuff, Lord Jesus. All I got to do is study and they'd find out something. But anyway, how many of you men have bought something for your wife she did not need? Hold your hand up. You bought a Christmas gift, whatever, something nice, right? Put your hand up. Ladies, how many of you have bought stuff for your husband he did not need? That's good. Parents, how many of you have bought stuff for your kids they did not need? My Lord. Grandparents, just stick your hand up. I already know. Hallelujah. No, I got to ask the question. How many of you grandparents have bought stuff for your grandchildren they did not need? Put your hand up. Now, why did you do that? Because you loved them, right? It was a simple act of love. Had nothing to do with need whatsoever at all. You just wanted to show an act of love, and you just bought something for your wife, or she bought something for the husband, or you bought something for the kids, or you bought something for the grandchildren, simply because it was an act of love. Am I correct? How come you have to have a need for God to bless you? How come you got to be beat up, busted, stomped, and kicked before God can come upon the scene and be a blessing to you? How come you got to make an excuse for the blessing of God on your life because some crazy fool outside in the secular world thinks you shouldn't have that when God just wants to be you? How come God can't be you? How come God can't bless you? It has nothing to do with need, simply wanting to be a blessing. How come people got to be hurting all the time before God can come upon the scene? Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, help me, Lord. Why can't he just come and go, hey, how y'all doing? How come you got to be hurting all the time for God to come up on the scene to be a blessing to you? Why you got to be in need? Had nothing to do with need. I mean, my Lord Jesus. People say, well, you know, but that's greed. Could be growth. Why you got to be hurting? How come God can't be you? How come God can't do something that you do without being criticized for it? Second story. I was flying out of New York City. I was coming home. I had preached at Madison Square Garden. Filled up the place. 20,000 people. Lord Jesus. They said, Jesse, the main event. I like that. Kind of felt like a boxer. You know what I'm saying? Like Sugar Ray or whatever. Glory to God. And I was so excited. And I got on the plane. I'm flying home. And I'm thanking the Lord with my hands up sitting in the seat. And I have my own airplane. Don't get mad at me. It ain't my fault. Delta can't fly me. I brought my schedule to them. They know it. Can you fly this? Oh, no, sir, but we can charter a jet for you. Now, why would I want to pay for your jet? I serve a Jewish God. I ain't stupid. Why don't I get my own plane, use it, and then, glory to God, sell it and get all my money back? I mean, I was born at night, but not last night. You know, it's just called good sense. So I'm flying back and I'm just enjoying the presence of the Lord in the aircraft and everything. And to make a long story short, right in the middle of my praise, the Lord just interrupts it. He says, Jesse, you like your plane? I said, what? He said, you like your plane? I said, oh, yeah, Lord. I said, I can't thank you enough. I've been from, my God, Sydney, Australia to Moscow, Russia in that Falcon out there. I said, yes, sir, I really love it. He said, so you're really, really enjoying it. I said, oh, God, yes, I really mean that. He said, so that's it? That's all I can ever do? Gonna let your faith stagnate? I said, whoa, 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 wait, time out here. Wait, are you asking me to ask you for another airplane? He said, no, I'm asking you to answer the question. Is that all I can ever do? Is this it? I said, but God. He said, you know what your problem is? You've got on cruise control. You moving, but no longer by your power. A lot of Christians on cruise control. And you can get in an accident quicker on cruise control than at any other time. He said, that's all I can ever do. Now, for 2,000 years, the body of Christ has been making this mistake, including Jesse the Planets. I unbuckled my seatbelt. Watch me. Got up, stood up in the plane. I said, but God, it meets all my need. I don't need another aircraft. It meets all my need. He said, did I say anything about need? Why'd you bring up need? I said, I don't know. What are you going to say? He said, why'd you bring up need? He said, besides, Jesse, how come everybody's asking me for need? What's the matter? They don't believe what I said? Didn't I say I supply all the need according to my riches in glory? I said, yeah. He said, why do they keep asking me? I said, I don't know, Jesus. You got to ask them. He said, why'd you bring up need? I said, but God, I don't need another aircraft. I can go anywhere in the world. You understand? He said, did I say anything about need? What's the matter? They don't. What are you bringing up need for? That's what he said. Have you ever bought Kathy something she didn't need? Have you ever bought Jody something she didn't need? Have you ever bought your grandbaby something they didn't need? I said, well, yeah. He said, how come I can't be you? How come I can't be a blessing? Why do you got to be hurting all the time for me to come up on the scene? Now, I caught the revelation real quick. I said, okay, Jesus. My next plane going to be a Falcon 900 EX. That's a $32 million aircraft. Lord Jesus. And the Lord said, oh, Jesse, Jesse, I ain't finished. Since we talking here, I said, when I burn that baby out, then I want a Falcon 7X. That's a $50 million aircraft. The Lord said, oh, Jesse, whoa, I ain't finished. My last plane going to be a Boeing 737 BBJ. Ooh, now, you see, if I had a Boeing 737 BBJ, I could take this section over here, I could take this section here, and probably half of this section, and we could go to New Orleans and eat dinner. You want to go? You want to go? Well, how much it gonna cost? Nothing. Get on the plane. We fly to New Orleans, we eat dinner, we fly back to Minneapolis. Why? Because it doesn't have anything to do with need. Oh, this is good. I'm going to buy this tape myself, Lord Jesus. Has nothing to do with need. I came home and told Kathy, she said, you know, Jesse, you never ask God for a need. I said, I don't tell him what I need. I tell him what I want. Because if you get what you want, you destroy all your need. And that's greed. Could be growth. What you going to do when you get to heaven? I've said to him many times, what you going to do when you get to heaven? My Lord Jesus. I mean, most people are not going to be comfortable in heaven. Now, what I'm about ready to say, it's not cussing in New Orleans, but it's possible it could be cussing in Minneapolis. But since we're friends, I'm going to say it. Now, it ain't cussing in New Orleans. The other day, a guy comes in my face. This, I was saying, you ever notice negative information is always free? Somebody knows, trying to load you up with something, you know? So, I'm standing, this man walking to me, say, excuse me, you Jesse the Planets? And you can tell by, you know, the way he's talking. I said, oh, Lord, here we go again. I said, yes, sir. I want to tell you something. I said, well, tell me. I don't believe in that faith stuff, and I don't believe in that prosperity stuff. I said, well, go to hell. He said, what you say? I said, go to hell. He said, I can't believe you said it. I said, I'll say it the third time. Go to hell. I said, because you can't go to heaven, because you're going to mess it all up, son. You ain't gonna like heaven because there's gold streets. You understand? There's diamond, beryl, jasper, onyx, ruby. My Lord, you gotta go to hell where the bombed out trailers are. You gotta go to hell where there's sickness and jealousy and rage and murder and killing. You ain't gonna like heaven because see, when you get to heaven and start walking on gold streets and you start looking and seeing nothing but mansion and Jesus come up and you're gonna say, Jesus, it ain't right, Jesus, it ain't right. You know what he's gonna tell you? Go to hell. That is not cussing. That's a destination. He's not going to be comfortable in heaven. In my Father's house are many what? Yes. What? Yes. What? Yes. Now, what are we waiting for? When are we going to start believing what God said? Instead of worrying about what the newspaper says, the secular world says, anybody else says. Do you know they can't understand a thing going on here tonight anyway? Because the natural man receiveth not the things of God. So what you're trying to answer to people that don't understand stuff? I'm Jesse Duplantis, and I approve this message. Hey! God. You think I'm going to answer a fool that doesn't understand spiritual concept? He ain't going to like heaven neither. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Because you see, it's not about need. You shouldn't have any. We become so need conscious that we're needful. And yet, God says, they don't believe me. Think about that. Psalms 35, verse 27, very simple. Bless you. Let me read it. Let them shout for joy and be glad. I like that. Let favor my righteous cause. Uh-oh. So when favor is applied, it's a righteous thing. He says, favor my righteous cause. Yay. Oh, yes. Let them say continually. Let them say continually. But there's a recession going on. Let them say continually. But I got cancer in my body, Brother Jesse. Let them say continually. Let the Lord be magnified. Uh-oh. Now the thing changes. We're talking about magnification of God. Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure. Everybody say pleasure. Pleasure. That's the word that's running the world. Everybody's seeking pleasure, spiritually, physically, financially. Pleasure. That's all they want, pleasure. Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Or in other words, when you look good, God looks good. Let me say it again. When you look good, you magnify God, and God looks good. I've had people tell me all over, boy, you sure dress your wife good. Hey, Kathy got some fine clothes. Don't misunderstand. You really dress your wife good. I look at them. I say, I ain't never dressed my wife once. I've tried to undress her many times. Don't let their white hair fool you. Talk to me, baby. What's up? Hey. Now, don't y'all tell her I said that, because she'll kill me if I get home. Praise God. You say, hey, watch this. I wasn't even there, and I got magnified. I wasn't even there. Boy, Brother Jesse, dress you good. Yeah. I got magnified because she looked good. Yeah, but notice Christmas Sunday and Easter Sunday, most people dress up. Put on the best clothes, nice suit, you know, beautiful dress, whatever. You ever notice on those two Sundays, usually it's hard to get the kids in the children's church because the grandparents and the parents bring all the kids into the main sanctuary because they want everybody to see what they're wearing. Because that's the children. And then you go out, or your grandchildren, you go out and buy a beautiful little formal looking dress for your little grandbaby or a little suit, whatever, real nice, you know, for your grandson or for your child, whatever. And here Pastor Mac trying to preach the gospel, and all of a sudden the baby slip off the mama's lap or slip off the grandmother's lap, and my Lord, baby start running, and then you jump out to say, I'm sorry, Pastor Mac. I'm sorry. Let me get the baby over here. Let me just hurry and get the baby. And you get the baby back, and then you walk back to your seat like this. And everybody says, ooh, look how pretty that dress is. Look how beautiful that baby is. It brings you pleasure. Where'd you learn that at? You learned that from God. In other words, when your grandbaby or your child looked good, it brought you pleasure. You were magnified. My Lord, this is good stuff. And the baby doesn't have anything to do with need. How many times have you taken your grandbaby, it might be at a grocery store, and they say, Grandma, I want some candy. I want some candy. You think she's greedy? No. That's greed. Could be growth. When are we going to stop believing what God said and living like God lives? Don't judge this yet. Let me finish this. Listen to me. Either this is truth or it's a lie. Let me tell you something. I find out this Bible's a lie, I'll leave here tonight. And I'll find me the biggest bottle of booze I can find and get me some hot mama. And I'm going to say it on television. If I'm going to hell, son, I'm going with gusto. But if I'm going to heaven, I'm healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, and freely receiving. Now, I'm a very plain, blunt man. If this is not true, you think I'm going to go to, you think I'm going to go to hell paying tithe? Are you crazy? Think about that for a minute. That's silly. But it is truth. And for thousands of years, they try to shut this Bible down. But it outlasts everybody because the truth sets you free. Are you hearing me? Now watch this, you see. See, it's not about need. It isn't at all. Now write this down and you'll be blessed by it. Watch this. When God gives you something, or when a person gives you something, there's a sacredness to it. That's an act of honor. When God gives you something, or when a person gives you something, there's a sacredness to that. That's an honor. They didn't have to give it to you. It had nothing to do with need. They just wanted to bless you. There's many and many of you in the past walked up to me and shook my hand. And I'm not saying this of you to do this, so don't misunderstand. And put $100 in my hand. It had nothing to do with need. You just wanted to bless me. Or somebody put something at the back of my tape table for me. And I thought, why? Well, it had nothing to do with need. They just wanted to bless me. See, I don't have to tell God what I need. He already know that. I tell him what I want. Because when I get what I want, I destroy all my need. Oh, but that's greed. No, that's growth. You ever notice Jesus never asked his father for a need? Never. But he told his father what he wanted. Think about that for a minute. Title of this message is, it's not about need. Now watch this. When someone gives you something, or a person gives you, there's a sacredness in that. They didn't have to do that. You should honor that. I have some acquaintances in the ministry. They think they're so big, let me bless you with my presence. You could have stayed home, sucker. I need to have you bless me with your presence. You know, but they got that attitude, you know. I can't come to your church unless you give me this amount of money. Well, then guarantee me 500 souls and you got it.
Yeah, come on.
Well, all you do is throw it back on them. They can't handle that, see? You follow my point?
Yeah.
And listen to me. It's not about me. It's just God wanting to be God. God just wanting to be you. He just would like to bless you because he loves you.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be hurting for it to get done. Yeah. But the church were for over 2,000 years that the only way God can come and be a blessing to you is if you're hurting bad. Think about that for a minute. Let that sink, okay? So when God gives you something, or when a person gives you something, there's a sacredness to that. Jody told this year for Christmas, or actually 2010, she said, Dad, what you want? She didn't ask me what I needed. She said, what you want for Christmas? She said, Dad, you're so hard to buy for. You got everything. I said, I don't have everything. She said, what you want? I said, get me some socks. Oh, Dad, I don't want to get you no socks. I said, that's why I don't have no socks. Now, don't buy me no socks. I got enough socks, okay, for God's sake. Please. But what I'm saying, she said, see, but in her mind, because it wasn't expensive. It wasn't worth anything. No. You know, whoa. You thought of me. That was an act of love. There was a sacredness to that. You don't take advantage of that. You see what I'm saying? I said, Joe, you asked me what I wanted. Go get me some socks. Get me some wild-looking socks. She got me a bag of socks, son, that if the lights go out, follow me. I didn't put them on today, but I tell you what, I pull them pants legs up. I tell you one thing, you can follow me in the dark. I like socks. Someone said what I gave away, I saved, and what I spent, I used. But what I kept, I lost. What I gave away, I saved. What I spent, I used. What I kept, I lost. You see, the use of money is a part of education in life. The use of money. You know, people say, my money ain't no good. Well, if it's so bad, how come you work for it?
That's right.
And why does everybody get excited when the economy turns around since money's bad? Come on, let the elevator go to the top. You live in an economic world.
That's right.
You're going to need some money in this world. Well, Jesus didn't need no money, brother. Jesus went on the ground 10 minutes, there's three rich guys looking for it.
That's right.
Because Mary and Joseph broke as a junkyard dog, just broke. Herod gonna kill everybody. Herod gonna kill Jesus. Jesus said, we gotta get out of here, mama. He's the one who had the pot of gold. God ain't gonna send his son down here without no money. You're not gonna send your son to camp or somewhere without some kind of financial substance. But you see, money is valueless until it becomes a seed. You know, if you eat money, it'll kill you. You start stuffing your throat with $20 bills, you're going to die. If you wrap your body with $100 bills and walk out this church and a thunderstorm hits you, you're going to be naked in 3 minutes. You know why? Because money is a Judas. Money will betray you. You better respect money or money will kill you. But if you take money and make it a seed and go to a store and buy some food, it brings nutrition to your body. If you take money, make it a seed and go to Nordstrom's or someplace that you like to shop and buy some clothes, it brings warmth to your body. It's valueless until it becomes a seed. The use of money. Now, people say, do you need money? You're in an economic world. The only two places that I've ever seen where money is not needed is heaven and Star Trek. Anybody ever seen Star Trek? Now, I love Star Trek. I am a Trekkie, son. Me and Kathy are Trekkies, you understand? We like Star Trek. Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. High five your mission, I'll seek out new life forms. Come on, Kirk, come on. I like that. Notice there's no money in Star Trek. I decided to write one myself. Ministry, the final frontier. These are the voyages of Jesse the Planet's ministries. Our lifelong mission. It's to seek out new souls for his glory and honor, to fill up new hearts with his presence and power, to preach and teach the uncompromised word of God, to boldly go where Jesus Christ tells us to go, live long and prosper. I like that. Glory to God. How many of y'all Trekkies in here? We got any Trekkies in here? Let me find out if you're a real Trekkie. Let me see this. Let me tell you something. Jesse and Kathy, we don't believe in the Kobayashi Maru. What did I just say? What is the Kobayashi Maru? Talk to me, girl. That's a wonderful person right over there. Hey, glory to God. The no-win scenario. I create my world and I walk in it. My daughter said, Dad, nothing seems to affect you. I ain't in your world. I create mine and I walk in it. And wherever place I put my foot is mine. Because it's not about need. Some of you ladies may want a real Louis Vuitton purse. I ain't talking about one of them knockoffs that when you buy one and the cops come, the guy running around the corner. I'm talking about a real Louis Vuitton. Because I've learned something about women. They don't buy purses. They wear purses. Come on, baby. I'm talking about a purse that's so expensive, when your husband find out, he pass out. Just fall on the ground. Oh, it isn't about need. That's greed. No, that's a want. God said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. God wanted the earth. It wasn't greed. It was growth. Are you getting this? Yeah. Write this down. Riches are made for use, not storage. Because when you store them, you start trusting them. Now, I don't want you to take that statement out of context. I believe in saving money. I save money, but I don't store money. Riches are made for use, not storage. Because when you store them, you start trusting them. Like a lady told me not too long ago, but just I was on a fixed income. I said, well, look like you need a fix. Because you decided to let your retirement plan determine how you live. Which is wrong. Which is wrong. You ought to be living by your giving. Not by your living. Watch this. Now, you know, I am not a rude man. I'm really a nice guy. I don't mean that private. I am. I like people. People like me. But I was preaching in Detroit. Detroit, I would say Michigan, probably of all the 08 recession, and nine, probably as far as the unemployment rate, I would probably say it's the number one in all the 50 states. I mean, you know, because they're all car industries there. I mean, Michigan hurt bad. Okay? I'm preaching at a church in Michigan. This man and woman come up to me with tears in their eyes crying. And he said, Brother Jesse, I lost my job. I don't know what I'm going to do. I may lose my heart. I don't know what I'm going to do. And what came out of my mouth, I thought was so rude. I said, I don't talk like that. The Lord said, you didn't say that. I said that. The man standing there with the pastor, he said, I've lost my job. I looked at that man and said, I'm so glad you lost that stinking job. Because the only reason why you took that job 30 years ago, because your wife told you to take it. Am I right, lady? And I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I said, you stupid, stupid. Lord, let the rapture take place. Let that old man be right. That old man. I couldn't believe I said that. I said, am I right, lady? She said, yes. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's find out if this is true. I'm going to go back to that story. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Watch this. Verse 17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded. In other words, you know, it's okay to be rich. Don't get cocky, because your money doesn't make who you are. Your money's not you. Charge them that are rich in this world, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Watch this. Nor trust in uncertain riches. I said, sir, they threw you under the bus. You've been working 30 years. They fired you, let you go, so they could hire someone a lot younger and pay them a lot less because you would trust in uncertain riches. That's why your wife told you to take that job. I said, now, mister, you're in a perfect place for God to give you the job you've always wanted and the money you always wanted to make. 4 days later, that man called my office. He said, you ain't going to believe this. I said, no, I'm the one believing. I will believe this. Tell me. He said, God, but just I got the best job I've had in my life. I'm making more money than I've ever made in my life. 30 years ago, I wanted this job. I said, ah! But you trusted uncertain riches.
That's good.
Think about that. You see, you thought you needed that job. No, you don't need a job. You should want a job. Because if you want a job, you want the job that you want, not the one that you need.
Oh, that's good.
Listen to me. Get that in you. See, you charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. The living God. How many churches in Minneapolis, St. Paul, going to have church Sunday that doesn't serve a living God? Think about that for a minute. But in the living God. I mean, they're homiletical, they're hermeneutical, they're philosophical, they're theological. They may be doctor, reverend doctor. You know, I've been to Westminster Abbey many, many times, and I've looked at the sign that says the reverend doctor. I said, he must be the pastor. No, then they got the very reverend doctor. And they got the big boy, the very, very reverend doctor. It's on the plaque. How many of y'all saw the wedding of William and Kate? The very, very reverend bishop was the one putting them together. And you know, I like the way he says, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. How many of y'all saw it? And I thought, does he know the Father? Does he know the Son? Or the Holy Ghost? See, because it's what you know is what produces things, not what you believe. Your belief is a state developing to the point of knowing. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. See, when you know, manifestation follows. When you're believing, that's it. We got to get there. And sometimes people get to saying it like an auctioneer. I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing. I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing. I'm standing on the word, standing on the word, standing on the word. I think I'm believing. I don't know what I'm doing. God help me. Watch this. Riches are made for use, not storage, because when you store them, you start trusting them. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us how much? Who giveth us, how much?
All.
Or richly. How many things?
All.
How many things?
All.
How many things?
All.
To do what? To what? Then why is everybody trying to hide blessing? You think I'm worried about the media? I'm going to magnify God right in front of all them fools. I don't mean that to be rude. I'm just, you think I am going to hide what this glorious God Jehovah has done for me in my life, spiritually, physically, financially, who giveth us richly? How many things? How many things? It's your thing. Do what you want to do, Lord. Hey! Huh? How many things? How many things? To do what? To enjoy. God wants you to enjoy. Yeah, but Brother Jesse, that's when we get to heaven. Okay, let's go to the most famous prayer in the Bible. That's probably prayed at least 2 million times a day worldwide. Our Father. It's even in red. He stamped the thing in red. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where? 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 As it is where? When will we believe the word of God? When? We got to do another 1,000 years? When? Oh, now you sound like Hebrews 11:1. See, I made you say that. Now, faith is. It's not is faith now. That's the church world. Come on, Jesus. Shoot the dice, Lord. Get us a 7. Come on, we need help. We need help here. No, no. Now, faith is the substance of what? The evidence of what? Is a Louis Vuitton purse a thing? Is it a thing? Is it a thing? Then why do you make an excuse to have one? You know what they're going to tell you? But you don't need that. Ain't got anything to do with need. We all starting to get this now. Ain't got anything to do with need. It's just God wanting to bless you. It's just God saying, hey, can I be you? I saw you buy your granddaughter a bar of candy or some ice cream or something or whatever. She didn't need it. My granddaughter, I saw her this morning, I tell you. You know, it took 17 years to get that baby on the ground. And she's a little over 3 years old. She's a blessing. She calls me, Grandfather, where are you? She calls me Grandfather. Grandfather, where are you? And I come out the house. She goes, ice cream. I said, ice cream. Jody said, but Dad, she's about ready to eat lunch. I said, she'll eat it later. She'll eat it an hour later. Let her have ice cream. And sure enough, about an hour later, I'm hungry. She still got the vegetables. And I told Kathy, never, ever run out of ice cream. El Shaddad has spoken. Never. Oh, she don't need it. She wants it. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not need. Let patience have its perfect work, that you're perfect and entire. The young lions do suffer lack, but he that seeks my face shall not any good thing. That's greed. Could be growth. Oh, Jesus. Who gives us richly all things. The other day, they had my airplane on Fox 8 New Orleans, showing it in London. It ought to be in London. I got offices in England. I'm preaching. It was the best photo I've ever seen of my plane. I called him. I said, can I get a copy? You think I'm worried about that? They send choppers. I come outside and go, boy, Benny Hennis told me, you know how to handle a press. I'm not handling the press. I am magnifying God. I will not let a heathen from hell back me in a corner and say, you ought not have that. I had a guy tell me the other day about my house. I don't think you ought to have the house. I said, no, you love my house. You don't like yours. That's your problem. That's why you looking at my house all the time. Because you don't like yours. But if I gave you my house, you'd shout. I had a guy found out the other day, Mac, he was criticizing me, you, Creflo, Brickle, all that y'all in pretty with all them planes. I said, Lord, come here. Can I handle this guy the way I want? He said, you ain't gonna kill him. No, I ain't gonna kill him. Thought about it, but so I walked up to him. I said, how you doing, man? You can tell when somebody put the frost on you. I said, I heard you was talking about my plane. I said, man, I heard you said you didn't like it. I said, listen, I want to come and thank you because I was going to give you that plane. He goes, his jaw dropped. His jaw dropped. I said, but you know, thank you for helping me not miss God because you say you don't want that and you don't like that. He goes, why all of a sudden, if it's his plane, it's okay? But if it's someone else's,
ain't right.
I said, I just want to thank you. Man, you stopped me from missing God. I was going to miss God and give you this plane. I said, have a nice day. I don't mean that to be. And the Lord said, you did good. Wait a minute. How come when it's yours, it's okay? But if it's someone else's. That's one thing I learned as a kid growing up. We were so poor. We were poor. I mean, I slept on the floor in an 8-foot-wide, 32-foot trailer, me and my oldest brother. You follow what I'm saying? Mom and Dad did the best they could. Okay. So, brother, when I found out somebody had something, I was glad because I knew somebody had it. I never was jealous of anything anybody's ever had. I'm glad somebody got something, whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial. I can't understand how people criticize somebody got a miracle ministry when they need a miracle. Or somebody got the anointing of prosperity in life, finances, and they criticize that and they broke as a junkyard dog. Are you crazy? See, because it's not about need. It's just God saying, I want to be a blessing, who'll give you richly all things to enjoy. Now, let me tell you a story. How many of y'all ever heard of Keith Moore? Okay. Well, Keith and Phyllis are good friends of ours. He come to New Orleans. So, you know, he came to New Orleans, and I took him to my favorite restaurant. And Mac and Lynn, y'all come, I'll take you to my favorite restaurant. It's Mr. B's. It's on Raw Street. It's right across from the Monteleone Hotel. I'm telling you, this is some food. Oh, Jesus. The barbecue shrimp, shoot it in your veins. That's how good it is. I'm telling you. This will hurt you. Good for it. It ain't healthy, but you die with a smile on your face, man. The guy look at you in the morgue, he must have eaten Mr. B's, yeah? Jesus, boy, just phenomenal food. Well, you know, and when people come, I want to take them out to dinner or whatever, you know, and I want them to enjoy the meal. Yeah, I want to enjoy, you know, the guests. I want to be a blessing. Well, he called not too long ago. Him and Phyllis said, hey, Jesse, we're coming to New Orleans. I said, okay, where you want to go? I'll take you to Commander's Palace. I can take you to Mr. V's. Because all the great chefs of the world, where do you think they learned to cook? Not New Orleans, New Orleans. Naturally, New Orleans. You ever heard of Emeril? He learned at Commander's Palace. You understand that? I'm telling you something. There's some eating down there. The fattest people in America live in New Orleans, Louisiana. Katrina couldn't run us off. Shoot, we ain't leaving that shrimp. Just good. God help us. So watch this. I mean, it's hard because it's just food everywhere. He said, Jesse, this is Keith. He said, listen, well, I want to go where you and Kathy go when you're not going downtown to the quarter. I said, oh, you want to go where the locals go? He said, yeah. I said, okay. I said, I'll take you to the pot. He said, the pot? I said, it's called a seafood pot. I said, this is going to hurt you. Now, it's a hole in the wall. Paper plates. Plastic forks, paper towels on the table. They don't come and take your food. You walk up to the register, you order, they give you a number. 32, 47. But when you walk out your car, the smell hits you. You go, oh, Jesus, what is it? It's wonderful. Now, he likes seafood. I said, I'm going to order for you. Now, he's a good eater. I mean, Keith can flat eat, you know. And I want him. I said, you like shrimp? You like fried shrimp? Yeah. I said, you like barbecue shrimp? Yeah. I said, you like oysters? You like fried oysters? You like gumbo? I mean, I ordered all this stuff. And I said, you like seafood? You want ball crabs? How about some ball crawfish? I'm talking stuff that'll hurt you. I'm telling you, eating, and the juice is running down your arm, and you want to lick it. Just good. And I'm not exaggerating. That's Keith going, Mark, he says this, Phyllis, can you believe they live only a mile away from a place like this? My God. And your boy, he's walking around like a doctor. He said, I need to wash my hands. I mean, that's just eating, boy. I said, well, just go in. There's a restroom back there. You wash your hands and everything. I said, bring some paper towels with you. I mean, there's a hole in the wall. But I want to tell you something. The vegetables in that place are just wonderful. They got two old black ladies back there. Lord Jesus. It's phenomenal. Watch this. So as I'm walking back to the table, and they got the people that are taking the orders, they're just young people, 21, 22, maybe a little younger, I don't know. They make a minimum wage. If they're making more than minimum wage, it might be 10 or 15 cents, you know. As I walk by, like I'm walking past Mac and Lynn, the Lord said, give her $100. I said, okay. So I walk up to this little lady. I said, hey, sweetheart. She goes, oh, Reverend, is something wrong? You need something? I said, the Lord told me to give you $100. She said, what? I said, the Lord told me to give you $100. Now, you know, you give somebody $10 or $20, they say thank you. When you get them 100, they get spiritual. Jesus! Lord Jesus! Are you serious? I said, yes. She goes, she starts crying. She said, I just went on my own. I rented an apartment and I put a deposit down on, and I was going to go get some groceries after work. I only had $15 left, but you know, I'm on my own. I said, really? I said, well, take another 100. Oh, Jesus! Oh, Jesus! It wasn't about need. I didn't know she had a need. To me, it was about obedience. It had nothing to do with need. I wanted to do that. It was such a blessing.
Yes.
To see a young girl just starting out on her own. She might have been 21. If she's 22, that's pushing it. I said, now go buy you some groceries and enjoy yourself. Now watch this. It ain't about need. Christmas week 2010. We always try to let our staff off as much as we possibly can because some of them, you know, their families live in other states, so they want to go eat dinner and Christmas. So we try to get everything. You just can't shut this ministry down. And it's not as easy. When it was little, yeah, I don't mean it privately, but when it's little, you just close up shop, throw on the telephone and get 7 calls. Today we get about 6,000 phone calls a week into that ministry. So I don't shut down easy. You know, you got to do all that kind of stuff. So we're trying to hurry so we can give them a couple of extra days, something like that. I go over to Kathy's office. I say, Kathy, I said, where do you want to go to lunch? She said, Jesse, man, we ain't got time to go to lunch. She said, let's just go to Wendy's and grab us a quick hamburger and we'll come on back. That way we can finish this stuff. Maybe we can not let the staff off at 2 o'clock. They were supposed to work to 5. We can get them. I said, okay. So we go to Wendy's. What's this? Wendy's. Y'all got a Wendy's here, right? Okay. So we're going on. Now, this Wendy's happens to be very busy Wendy's because it's on the airline highway in New Orleans. That's the old highway into New Orleans. And it's by construction going on. So there are a lot of construction guys, you know, go in there and grab a hamburger. So I walk in. You got to get in line. There's 3 people in front of me. And within a matter of 30 seconds, there are 4 people behind me and Kathy. 3 in front of us, 4 behind us. So we're standing in line. They're going to get a cheeseburger or something. The man in front of me does this. He said, excuse me. I said, yes, sir. Now, this is Christmas week, okay? Going into Christmas week. I said, yes, sir. He said, are you Jesse Duplantis? I said, yes, I am. He said, I watch your television show. I said, well, thank you, man. He said, what are you doing here? I said, we're getting us a cheeseburger. He said, but you have a jet. What does that have to do with a cheeseburger? I said, yes, sir. But you could eat in any restaurant you want in New Orleans. I said, yes, sir. He said, why are you here? Want a cheeseburger. He looks at me. And, you know, I thought, I'm going to be a blessing to this man. I said, tell you what, sir. Let me buy you a hamburger. Get anything you want to eat. Oh, I can't let you do that. I don't need that. And all of a sudden, I heard God's voice. Did I say anything about need? What'd you bring up need for? I ain't got anything to do with need. Mister, I don't know anything about need. I want to be a blessing to you. Let me be a blessing. I can't let you do that. And the 2 guys ahead of him said, you can buy ours if you want, Reverend. My God. I look like that. And the four guys behind me said, and if you want to buy ours too, you can buy ours too, Reverend. I said, I tell you what, I'd like to buy everybody a hamburger. Just get in front of us. Just get in front of the line. Now watch this. The man God sent me to be a blessing, he wouldn't let me. And it had nothing to do with need. I know he could buy his own hamburger. I said, sir, don't hurt my feelings. It's Christmas, man. Let me buy you a hamburger. And the other guy said, let the man buy you a hamburger. It was, finally he agreed. But notice the guy that God sent me to be a blessing to. So, man, they all up there. These guys are ordering triple triples and frosties and large fries, all kinds of stuff. Now, I don't know about you people in Minneapolis, but this Wendy's happened to have two registers. You got two people, you know, it seemed like in these hamburger joints, they hire some zombies. Have you ever seen the zombies? And I see this zombie. I thought, God help me. You know how the zombies are? I'd like to have a cheeseburger with mayonnaise, lettuce, and tomato.
We got a complicated order coming here.
They're zombies. Where did he get these people? How many of y'all seen the zombies? I call them zombies, man. So I'm thinking, oh, God, don't let me get the zombie. I want the other lady. Now, this was a black woman, about 65 years old. She was so wonderful. She just made everybody in that place feel like $1 million. They walk up, she said, can I help you? And they say, a number two or number three. Merry Christmas. Let me get you some extra fries. And all that kind of, just a sweetheart. Now, you know she ain't making hardly any money. She's working at Wendy's. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Trying to make a living. She's about, I think she was 62 to 65, maybe a little older. So I thought, oh, God, I don't want the zombie. Let me get there. You know, I want her. But thank God that I was able to get her. I walk up to her. She goes, you Jesse the Planet? I said, yes, I am. Merry Christmas, Brother Jesse. I said, Merry Christmas, girl. I said, man, you just sound so wonderful. Kathy said, you are just such a refreshing. She said, oh, it's Christmas week. It's so exciting. She said, what can I get for y'all? So Kathy said, I have a hamburger. I said, you know, I'd like to get some chili. She said, you want me to put some of that cheddar cheese on top of it and kind of mix it up in there? I said, do your thing, girl. Go on. Just do your thing. That's fine with me. Bless God. Enjoy yourself. She said, and she goes like that, I'll get it for you. Well, she runs over and she puts that chili and all that kind of stuff. She said, let me give y'all some extra fries. And Merry Christmas. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, give her $100. I said, okay. So I said, sweetheart. I said, here's $100. Now she's a black woman. She goes, Jesus! Woo! Now I love black people because they're more expressive. Jesus! It was wonderful. And she starts crying. She said, you know, I didn't have any money to buy a turkey for Christmas for dinner. I'm going to be able to buy a turkey. And I looked at her and I said, have you ever got one of them hams? It's about this big and it's kind of like circles on. You pull it off. It's real sweet. Oh, no, sir. I said, take another 100. Oh, Jesus! I said, Merry Christmas. I wish I'd have been a fly on the wall at our house for Christmas. Because about 2 weeks later, we went back to that Wendy's. She said, Brother Jesse, Tina, we had the greatest Christmas dinner we've ever had. My grandbabies had turkey. And we had, you know, all we was going to have was like green beans and vegetables. And we had turkey and ham. It was so wonderful. It wasn't about need. I didn't know she had a need. I wanted to be a blessing to her. You're going to criticize that? I just wanted to be a blessing to this woman. It wasn't my need at all. Concerning my part. As she was walking out the Wendy's, Kathy said, you know these hamburgers cost you $256. I said, well, I never thought about that. I don't know. When you get a $56 bill on hamburgers, that's a lot of hamburgers at Wendy's. Let me tell you something. Them boys were eating. I was so glad. Because it wasn't about need. I wanted to be a blessing. They owe me nothing. Just, you should have seen that lady. Working hard. hard. Tried to make a living. Couldn't even buy a turkey. Now she had a turkey and a ham. It was a great blessing. I looked at her. I said, you know, you're a wonderful person, but you're not going to be here long. Give me your hands. She said, what? I said, sweetheart, look at me. I said, the anointing of increase is on me. Do you understand that? No. I said, no, listen to me. It is on me. I'm going to pray you out of this place. God's going to give you a good job. It wasn't 4 weeks later. She was gone. She got a great job doing very good. Now, and I'm not bragging on that, but it's on me. Why? Because I want it to be. Not so I can live good. I've been living good all. I ain't got anything to do. I lived good when I was a sinner. It's called work. All you got to do is work. You can't make it in America. You ain't going to make it anywhere else. Just work hard. You know, don't sleep much. Work hard. Because money never sleep. You might have heard a movie about that. You see, just wanted to be a blessing. Now, why did God say, charge them that are rich in this world not to be high-minded? You never become intoxicated. And I use that word, and I mean that. You never become intoxicated with success or paralyzed by failure. Because both extremes are wrong. Because money don't make who you are. See, it's not about need. It's just God wanting to be God. He's just wanting to bless you. He's just wanting to. And see, the secular world cannot understand that, including the church world. Because they've been preached poverty for over 2,000 years. And it's a curse. It's a curse. How many of y'all like to be a blessing? Don't you like to be a blessing? I mean, what's wrong with that? I mean, why would anybody? Well, I tell you, I don't think you ought to have that car. Because you want the car. That's why you're noticing stuff. You know, I don't mean to sound prideful. I have a very giving heart. We was in Hawaii not long ago, and I saw this woman. She's just looking at this Louis Vuitton purse like a deer in the headlights. I didn't know who she was. I had no idea who she was. I said, you like that? Oh, messed up. Yes. And I said, you like it in monogram or dummy? She said, I like it in the monogram. I said, that's nice. I said, is it expensive? Oh, it's $1,700. Can you believe that? $1,700. I said, but it must be worth it because I see drool coming out your mouth here looking at this purse. I said, you like that purse? Yeah. I said, it's yours. What? I said, it's yours. And the little Japanese said, oh, that's Reverend Dr. Death of the Planets. If he said, it's yours, it's yours. I said, give it to him. And you brag it. Whoa. I can brag more with that $1,700 in my pocket than in hers. Come on. Let the elevator go to the top here. Come on, let's use some sense. But I just wanted to be a blessing. You ought to see, she started crying. She didn't know what to do. It's okay. I didn't know she had a need. She probably didn't need it. Oh, but she sure wanted it. And I tell you, when she walked out with that purse, you know, they wrap it up, put it in a cloth bag. Then they give you a big brown bag because they want everybody to know you got something from Louis Vuitton. They put a purse this big in a bag this big. Am I telling the truth? You know, if you ever got one of those things or something like that. So Kat said, what'd you do today? Well, I just done that. Now, I'm not bragging on that. I believe it's the Lord had me do it. And I looked at it today. She said, sir, I don't know what to say. I said, don't say nothing. Just say that God has blessed you. I said, I didn't, sweetheart. I just happened to be here. I'm just a receptacle. I said, but the Lord blessed you today. Never forget it. Have a wonderful time. Now, why would anybody criticize that? God. But you know, ain't one thing. I bet he stole that money at the church. You know anybody else gave over $250 million of their own money to the gospel? Answer me. Not bragging on that. That could have been all my money out there. And I've been bragging on that. But you know, money disappointed me. Let me close with this. I wanted to make money all my life growing up because we were poor. But by the time I was 21 years old, some of you young people, your mom and them was with me and Alice Cooper at the Bloomington Stadium back in the 70s. I worked the left guard it was the Minnesota Vikings. You understand? I made some money in my life. I've been a millionaire at 21 years old. And that's when gas was 30 cents a gallon. And I remember having money. And it disappointed me because it didn't make me happy. Because I had become intoxicated with it. And Kathy said, what's the problem? And I can buy anything I want. I'm not happy. And then when the Lord came into my life, he made me happy. I gave all my money away. I said, I'm going to be poor. Because I thought that's what Christians should do, be poor. I was willing to do it. But I was a giver. And God started blessing me. No. Because you see, if you look at verse 18, he give you rich all things to joy. You can enjoy them, but you also, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. In other words, just be a blessing. And God began to bless me. And bless me. I'd rather be rich in good works than in good investments. Now, I got some good investments. Don't misunderstand me. That's not the issue. And I believe in that. But it's just able just to be a blessing of God. I ain't looking for money, but money look for me. I don't mean that to sound arrogant, because God trusts me. That blesses me. I told that to John Hagee. We were in a conversation about money. I said, John, the greatest gift anyone can ever give us is not money. It's trust. I said, buddy, don't never break that trust. Because if you do, you may never get it back. Or if you do get it back, it may take a lifetime. It's the greatest gift anyone can ever give you when they trust you. Trust you with money that they need. So I believe God. For my partner, I believe God. They're going to get 100-fold. I have to say this. I didn't want to say that. I've been trying to stop this. But the other day, a preacher came up to me. And he said, I tell you what, it seems like nothing ever affects you. He said, me, I'm hurting all the time. I said, is your church a partner to my ministry? I never say that. See, that's not me. He said, no. I said, that's your problem. I said, I've been coming here all this time, and my anointing, it doesn't even affect you because you don't even sow into it. I said, I don't need nothing you got. You understand? Well, you need what I have. He wrote a check, went to Amarillo, Texas, where I was preaching in a cowboy church. This was a true cowboy church. He said, how you doing there, brother? I said, I'm doing good. Bless God, I had me one of them big belt buckles on. Lord Jesus, I look good. Thought I did anyway, you know. He gave me a $10,000 check. He said, I'm sorry. Should have done that. I'm not saying that for anybody to do that. But I'm saying, I said, you watch this. 4 days later, he's in the parking lot of his church. And the person walked up and said, hey, brother, come over here. He's in his truck, pickup truck. He said, I've been wanting to bless your church, but I just felt urgent to do it this week. Here's $100,000. He called me up all excited. I said, don't get excited. It's not the 100-fold. When it comes to a million, call me. Look, you got 36 and 100-fold. You got a choice here. It's in red. It's in red. Well, it doesn't work like that. It works for me like that. It worked for me. It worked for me. Why? Because I believe it. No. I took it another step. I know it. I know that Mark 4 and that Mark 10, like I know John 3:16. But to me, it's not a money thing. That's just the pride byproduct. It's that faith to know that, bless God, you can manifest that in the physical when it's time to be manifested. And that's a wonderful thing. Now, you can judge this sermon. Did you like it? You can judge it. So, it's not about need. Tell God what you want. Now, if you go tell that somebody out there, you know what they're going to say? That's nothing but greed. No, that's growth. And if the Lord blesses you or somebody bless you, enjoy it and magnify God. So when the media comes to me and says, Walter, one thing, why you got there? I said, I'm enjoying. I said, hadn't God been good to me? I said, do you go to church? I said, I can tell you don't. You ain't got much. I can tell by your face. I said, you can't handle this. I said, you want to go to heaven? This is my interview. I said, no, you wouldn't have one without me. I'm the main one here, baby. Ain't nobody going to listen to you. They won't know about me. They won't know about you. So since it's my interview, you want to go to heaven? You better get used to this, because you're not going to be happy in heaven when you get there. You got to go to hell while the bombed out trailers are. He just looks at me. You got a choice here. Bombed out trailer, mansion. Think. I made that simple, but that's how simple it is. Don't complicate that. That is that simple. Thank you. Praise the Lord. It's glory to God. That's exactly what it is. It's not just so you can live good. A guy told me that one time. He said, you look like you're living pretty good. I said, let me tell you something, sir. I've been living good for years. Even when I work for the devil, I live good. I work like a dog, but I live good. I still work like a dog. I like to work. I was raised to work. I had to tell a kid in our church. Let me tell you one more. Now, shut up. 14 years old, he's arguing with his mama because McDonald's offered him a job. I ain't flipping no hamburger. Now, I very seldom ever say nothing. You know, I just have more money. He said, how you doing, Brother Jesse? I said, hey, man, you mean to tell me McDonald offered you a job at 14 years old? I said, you know, when I was 14, what I would call that? He said, what? I said, an opportunity. Yeah, but it's just flipping hamburger. I said, that's your problem. You can only see the hamburger. I said, what about the guy that owned McDonald's at one time? His name was Ray Kroc. Passed away a few years ago. Multi-billionaire. You see, he looked at the hamburger. Then he looked at the machine that did the hamburger. Then he looked at the building that was holding the machine in the hamburger. Then he looked at the franchise. Then he looked at the world. Quit looking at the hamburger, boy. I said, that's an opportunity. And when I was your age, you mean to tell me you're going to pay me? Oh, yes, sir. I'll take that job. I was always a little entrepreneur. My mama said that. Shout out to all my boys. Jesse, I went to grass business at 7 years old. I said, get me a lawnmower. I'm going to cut grass. Good mom, dad ain't got no money. Mom ain't no money. I cut grass. I'm going to have me some money. I look like the Green Lantern. I cut grass. I green juice all over me. Man. I look at the Green Lantern bike. But my brother said, can you lend me some money? No, you want to work for me? I'm your older brother. I ain't got anything to do with it. Do you want to work for me? Yeah. I said, all right, this is what you do. You don't do it, you don't get the money. I did that with my own oldest brother. Not bragging on that, but I knew mom and dad did, they couldn't do it. So I was going to have to do something. Just think if I'd have known God. Ooh, I'd have owned a landscaping business by the time I was 12. Mac, I would have. I'd have figured that out. I'd have owned a landscaping business by the time I was 12 years old. Because ain't nobody want to cut the grass. I don't care if it's sweaty and hot.
Come on.
I ain't got anything to do with it. You see, I wanted some things in life. And it wasn't greed. It was growth. And when I learned it from the Lord, that he wants to be a blessing to you, if you just let him. How many times we tell him no? Oh, I forgot to tell you, I'm not worthy, Lord. I ain't worthy. You know, that only works at church. That don't work anywhere else in the world. I can prove that to you. You go eat dinner tonight, you and your wife, maybe I invite another couple, walk into a restaurant here in Minneapolis somewhere. You say, we'd like to have a table for four. Yes, sir. You see a table over there? You go, excuse me, sir. We'd like to have that table right there. Oh, no, no, you can't sit there. You ain't worthy. You won't dance with me? You want some of this? I'll break your leg, God will heal you, but I'm going to break your leg, sucker. That started the civil rights movement. A black woman sat on the bus, and a white bus driver said, you can't. You can't sit there. She said, yo, mama, I'm going to sit here, sucker. She had a right because she was an American. She had a right. So in other words, that worthy stuff only works at church. But if you don't accept it in the world, why do you accept it at church? When God made you worthy. Give Jesus a hand clap. Come on.